Welcome to the Sports Card Strategy Show, brought to you by NoOffseason.com, where you can get unlimited personalized advice to build your sports card investment portfolio. Get a free 30-day trial now at NoOffseason.com. You won't be sorry. Our show today is brought to you by Graybo's Sports Cards. They're a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One-Time Dodson, and is located in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's sports the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic and a wide variety of wax. Listeners of Sports Card Strategy can receive a 10% discount on any purchase at graybos.co by entering the code STRATEGY2023. Graybo's also now breaks on Whatnot and or Drip 5 nights a week, including baseball, basketball, football, and even wrestling breaks. Use the link in their IG bio at Graybo's_cards to get a $15 credit after your first purchase on Drip. Follow all of Graybo's news and updates on Instagram at Graybo's_cards. Don't forget that all of the data we use on the Sports Card Strategy Show comes from MarketMoversApp.com. Get 20% off MarketMoversApp.com today by using the promo code NOOFFSEASON. That's after a 14-day free trial. Use the promo code NOOFFSEASON at MarketMoversApp.com today. All right, it's time for some sports card strategy. Here are your hosts, Paul Hickey, Kendall the Lefty McKee, and the Dr. Crack, Chad Gill.
And we're live. One round in the main event. We got Denny One Time coming after us. Dr. Crack and me, new Paul Lefty McKee. We will be running the show today as Paul has a much needed vacation. We're going to get you in and out. We're going to talk about sports cards. How is everybody? Live chat. We're loving it. We got Chad Gill breaking the third wall, Paul's favorite part of the show. Cleo Cards, Evan Bell, Global from Down Under. Shoes is a faithfully with us. Fly Heat Cards. I think that's sounds like a new one to me. Luke Minchie, Crazy Old Guy. That's Crazy Old Guy is actually Chad breaking the third wall twice from his burner account. Guys, fellas, how are we?
I am fantastic, gentlemen. Thanks for having me today.
Denny, one time at the airport in Richmond. Where are you flying today, Denny?
I'm flying to Atlanta. Nice, short, little direct flight.
You got sponsor stuff going on, or are you just traveling for family?
It's a work conference from my former life of real estate and property management. I'm still in real estate, but my property management world, It's a national conference that I attended every year the last 15 years. I'm doing one more of them.
Hey, go on, Denny. All right. Dr. Crack, you got the orange wall behind you and the collared shirt on. That means you got meetings and cars to sell today.
You got it. Had a good weekend.
You know what? So did I, because every single one of the teams I rooted for either didn't play this weekend or won. And as you guys know, as I sit here with a Texas Rangers hat on and all the Texas memorabilia behind me, what a night last night. Jumping on Justin Verlander early. Evan Carter is just a man among boys, even though he's the youngest kid on the team. As they play Creed in their locker room, and Evan Carter had not heard of Creed before because he's so young. That's insane to me, by the way, because I don't feel old, but when he doesn't know what Creed is, that makes me feel old. How are you guys feeling about this MLB season wrapping up?
Well, it's fun to see some underdogs in there. Certainly threw the MLB for a loop when, what was it, the top five records of the year won, was it one playoff game, something like that? I'm sad to see my Brewers go home early, though.
Yeah, I don't. Unfortunately, I don't think your Brewers were in the top five records in baseball, but they were the Braves and the Dodgers, the Rays, the Orioles, and I can't remember the fifth one. They won one out of their combined playoff games, and that just shows you baseball is crazy. Baseball is just nuts. And so I'll just go ahead and tell you who I'm selling. If you have not sold Evan Carter from the Rangers, holy moly, this guy is incredible. The youngest guy, he was number six, I believe, on our buy list in September, and then number one on our list as soon as he made the call up. But he's number one on my list right now. But crazy old guys, Braves crap to the bed. Victory Monday here in the land. Go Brownies. That's what I'm talking about, Ryan. Definitely a Brownies fan here as well. Dr. Crack, you're fuzzy this morning is what Shoes told you. So, all right, guys, let's just jump into our L's of the week. We obviously know that Paul is not here this week. It's obvious that he's not here, but the show goes on. And we've got segments from him as well. Connor is backstage, and he's going to be helping us out with bringing in the Paul video. And we'll jump into Paul video after we do the three segments of ourselves. When we got Duke, me, and Dr. Crack here, we'll kind of go in that order. And so, Duke, give me your L of the week, my friend.
Yeah, so because I do this monthly, it's my L of the month. I get an email every time somebody buys something at Graybo Sports Cards, and you can see what it is. And I got an email that said someone used the promo code Strategy2023 to purchase a Xavier Isaacs auto. Right after that, an email comes in from a listener of this show, Marty Neal is his name. And Marty said, "Hey, big listener of Sports Card Strategy, bought this Xavier Isaacs. You know, thanks for jumping on the podcast. Yeah, I enjoy, you know, Paul and the gang." I was like, "Oh man, just a feel good story, right? Like people listening to this. Listening to you recommend Xavier Isaacs, they go on our site. The guy buys a Xavier Isaacs at a discount, and so then we go to ship the card. Can't find it. And long story short, we dug into it and tried to figure out. You know, whenever we have a process breakdown in the shop, we try to figure out, you know, what went wrong. And sure enough, it was me that goofed. I was in the shop. I sold the Xavier Isaacs about 3 weeks earlier, and I forgot to take it down out of inventory. So normally, when something goes wrong, I like to yell at Gray and Fitz and say fix it, but it was me that did it. And so I felt terrible. Reached out to Marty. Marty was a great sport about it. He understood, but I was pretty bummed out to have messed up in that capacity.
Dang, man. And the fact it comes back on yourself. And it's an Xavier Isaac card, which 3 weeks ago probably didn't it was probably worth more money now than it was 3 weeks ago. But yeah, he's one of our guys that is top of the list for us. In October, he's coming in the top five. He's one of the best buys in the hobby that we can give you right now. He's a guy that we've talked about a lot. Just such a cool story. But Duke, you got to get better at the inventory, man. You're the top of the food chain, man.
I agree, 100%.
Usually that's something that you're like, "Hey guys, we got to be doing this," and then you're just pointing the arrow right back at yourself. And
I would just luckily, say Fitz and Gray were very excited that it was me that messed up instead of them. I'll say that.
I'm sure there's been times where, you know, like even when you're younger and your dad messes up and it's not your fault and you're just like, "Yeah, that's all you," that screams that kind of same energy, you know, but Duke, you know what the best part about it is? You're humble enough to come on the always impressive Sports Card Strategy show and bear your burdens in front of everyone, because, you know, everyone listens to the show. We know they do. So, we will have that L broadcasted through all of our social medias as well, so everyone knows Duke's a humble guy. Chad, man, how's it going? Where's your L of the week, my friend?
Oh my goodness. My L of the week was that you've heard me say a while, I think a couple of shows ago, one of the strategies I had with my 10 Arch Manning Prism cards that I was extremely disappointed that they came scotch taped together and somebody handled them.
Man. Don't get me wrong. All right.
I was hesitant to do this because I thought, you know what? I'll bet these are not going to gem at the same rate the Topps Now cards do, but I really wanted to be first to the market because the only graded Arch Manning card on the market was a TSG or some weird grading company I'd never heard of before. So I sent five to SGC. I sent five to PSA. I haven't gotten the PSA ones back. Probably won't till Christmas. But the SGC one came back, and I got 1-9, 3-9-5s, and a 10. The 3-9-5s hurt because I was hoping for at least 3-10s to make it worth my while. The 1-10 will probably cover most of the expenses, and I might break even on the play, but we obviously do not do this to break even. We try to make money. I thought I was being a little bit sharp here by being first in the market, and it backfired on me. So that was an L. And then, of course, Caleb Williams losing, that's an L for his card prices, although going Notre Dame. And then I was texting you. I had bought two hobby boxes of the Bowman U football. I pre-ordered them, and I lit $200 on fire and ripped them both open, and I got maybe $40 worth of cards out of two hobby boxes. So hopefully somebody else will jump out there, and I'll have some Bowman firsts that have some value. But as of right now, it is not looking good, my friend.
Hey, that's what I thought when I ripped my Inception boxes, and they've come back, and I've been able to I still ripped one of them on fire, basically, but one of them has covered the expenses of the other ones after other players coming alive mid-season. So there is hope, Dr. Crack. But, Chad, we talked about your L's of the week. Are you got a new camera this week?
No, I can't get it to I'm struggling here. If I do this, it's nice. I think it's my lighting.
Like, it looks like the orange is a different color than normal, too.
Yeah.
Which it's not, probably.
No, it's actually red, which tells you my camera wasn't great to begin with, but I'm a little fuzzy, I guess.
Hey,
might have to get a new camera for next week.
As long as you're mentally sharp, that's what we need from you, my friend. That's what we need from you.
All the podcasters and, you know, our podcast listeners, they're gonna still get the nuggets. You watching me in fuzzy cameras, you might be distracted.
Yeah. So
maybe it's a shine from my head. I'm getting a little thinner up on top.
Yeah, people always assume that I'm a little bit thin up top because I wear a hat all the time, and my hair's super thick, so you won't have to worry about that. But I'm not going to show it today because there's a little bed head up there. I'll be honest, guys, it's a little early for me. But so you talked about your Arch Manning cards. I want to go back to that real quick. So you did pull back to the first in the market. You did test it going to SGC. You did go to PSA as well. There's some of us out here that followed the Arch Manning play that still haven't gotten maybe enough bankroll or something like that to send it off to PSA or things. If we still have our Arch Manning 10 or 20 card lot or 5 card lot or whatever in our possession, how do we play that knowing what you know now? How would you replay? Would you just send them all in? Would you look at them more carefully? Would you do raw cards on eBay, you know, kind of what would you replan?
Well, I have had such good luck with the Tops Now and Panini Now, Panini Instant Cards grading well. I made a rookie mistake, and I did not pre-screen any of these cards. I took the Scotch tape off, put them in the rigid card savers, and poof, off they went. I did not give them the old shoes 1-2 shakedown, and that was a mistake because the one that came back a PSA 9, I can see is clearly off-centered.
Yeah.
And two of the SGC 9-5s have surface marks that is common to prisms, you know, those little dots on the yep. chromium. It's a printing defect is what it is, but two of them clearly have one each, and I'm sure that's what made those 9-5s. Those three cards I would have never sent in. The third 9-5 to me I don't see it looks centered. I don't see any surface marks. I'm not sure what caused that one to get a 9.5, but three of them I went to sent in. So I can only imagine what the five looked like that I sent to PSA. So if I could redo it, I would actually give them the same shakedown that I give all my other cards. And instead of sending in 10, I probably would have ended up with like 2 to 4 and would have sold the other 5 or 6 raw, because they are selling pretty good for 10. You know, you pay $10 a piece, they're selling for $10-$11 free shipping. So I could have easily got my money out of them that way. And as it stands, I listed the SGC9 for $20, and I've got $25-$26 in it with shipping and grading. So you know, I'm going to take some losses there. The 10's going to have to bail me out.
That much of a marginal loss, though, for an exploration and something that we didn't expect coming back with. The way that they came back, we thought was fishy in the first place. Now, I've noticed that some of mine are off-center, and I haven't sent mine in yet because I'm preparing another, like a larger bulk order with them. But now I'm going to go back and comb through more exclusively and maybe get some more wins than you had previously. But that's what we're doing here. We're using each other's knowledge to potentially learn farther and go faster together. There's a good saying that's like, you can go fast alone, but you go far together. And I think that's what we're doing here at the Sports Card Strategy Show, is we can make a lot of mistakes and a lot of success kind of on our own, just doing our own thing. But we decided to do this in community with one another and bring this together and bring our L's and W's forward and rejoice and mourn as a crew. Because when we do stuff like make massive, you know, $100 plays that didn't work out, or $1,000 plays that didn't work out, or when you buy a Zion Williams last year for $200 and now it's worth $60, you know, it's just that's highly personal, boys, highly personal. I bought a PSA 10 2019 Zion for around $200 last year because I was like, surely it can't get any worse than this. And now that card is worth $60. And so I'm asking myself, do I reinvest in Zion? Which is what I'll ask Chad in our buys of the week, does he have enough hype in media around him and the right situation this year to reinvest? But we'll save that one. Connor, can you bring in our friend Paul Hickey for his L of the week? Or are we going to do them all together, my friend? Oh, you're muted.
Yep, let's bring him in right now, boys.
What's up, everybody? You couldn't get rid of me for 1 week. I am still here, even though I'm not. Duke Denny, one-time Dotson in the house. Congrats, brother, on joining the nooffseason.com sports card network. Everyone needs to go check out Graybo's Giblets ASAP. They've got great content every Friday to help you win your bets. But let's get into my L of the week. Sports Card Strategy Show. My L of the week has to be that I am not there live on the show with you guys right now, but submitting this video instead. But at least you get me. You couldn't get rid of me for 1 week. I am here, everyone. So Connor, Lefty, Chad, here we go. That was my L of the week. My win of the week has got to be some Jackson Holiday action, baby. I finally got my hands on a couple Jackson Holiday cards. This bad boy arrived today. It's a 2022 Bowman Draft Chrome Refractor, Gem Mint 10. How do you know it's a refractor, everyone? Well, the little word refractor on the back of it under the BDC168. Got this bad boy for $225. It was an offer that was accepted, listed for about $269. The seller accepted an offer of $225, which is right around recent comps. And that's huge for a Jackson Holiday card, because I think we need to be buying Jackson Holiday right now. He is my number one buy. But my other win of the week is that a 2022 Bowman Chrome Draft First Jackson Holiday Prospect Base Auto is on its way to me. And I paid, get ready for this, $430 for it. And if you go to Market Movers, in fact, why not? Why not? I'm going to share my screen with you guys right now because I've got it pulled up. So here you go, everyone. check this. You've got a all data. Look at this. Now, this is all the way back to early January 2023, right after this card hit the market. It was selling for right around $300. It was around the $300 mark until it dipped to around $250 and then spiked again during the baseball season is when it started to rise up $380. You haven't been able to get this card since the National for less than about $477. It also hit record sales of $600 on August 20th and August 23rd, and it stayed right around $600 until, guess what? I am the most recent sale. I paid $430 for this. That is a huge win, everyone. It is on its way to me. It's raw. The photos looked good. This is my sale right here, my buy right here, rather, for $430. It is the cheapest that a Jackson Holiday card has gone for since early August. And it's not that much more expensive than what he was going for back in, March, April, May. So let's go. Jackson Holiday, it's time to buy him. It's time to buy him, guys. Get in. I'm noticing Jackson Holiday auctions. It's got to be the first. It's got to have this little logo right up here, right, Lefty? It's got to have that logo right there, that first logo right here. Make sure. Oh, there it is right there. All right, that's my win of the week, guys. I'm in Jackson Holiday. He is the only player that I'm buying for the next month. Mark my words, October 16th is today when you're viewing this or when you're listening to this, everybody, on the podcast apps. And guess what? Through mid-November, he's going to be the only guy that I buy. Then when mid-November opens up again, it's going to be football card buying season. It's going to be football card buying season in 1 month. Mark my words, everyone. But Holiday, if you must dabble, James Wood, Jackson Churio, still great buys. If you must have some fun and dabble, I really like a question that we had last week from the audience QA section about the 2024 Olympics. Connor, you and I got to do some digging, brother. You and I got to do some digging. Golf and Olympics. Golf and Olympics. I'm not ready to tell you what cards I'm buying, but Connor, do some digging, post for the audience, post for me, post for everybody in our buys of the week. Do some digging, find some golf cards, find some Olympic cards, link to the Jackson Holiday, James Wood, Jackson Churio for me. It's time to buy, everybody. All right, who am I selling? I'm selling NBA cards to fund my 2024 bankroll. It's time to sell NBA cards. It's October 16th. Listen, list them in a 10-day auction. They're going to be gone by opening night. I love it. This is what you do for all your PSA 9s, for all of your non-big cards. You know, now, if you got some Cade Cunningham rookie ticket autos, if you got some Anthony Edwards Prism Silver PSA 10s, if you got some National Treasures Joker autos with a game-used patch in it, I'm not saying sell those types of big cards right now, but I'm saying liquidate your basic low to mid-tier investments of NBA cards right now. Hold your big time players with big time cards for their performance spikes, because there will be performance spikes for your big time guys like Giannis, Tatum, Anthony Edwards, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Definitely don't get rid of your LeBron Jameses or anything like that. I would hold back on those guys because there are markers for those guys. But if you're talking about your lower level NBA players, your fringe stars in lower grades, in mid to low tier cards, get rid of them, reinvest into other things right now, like those Jackson Holidays. And then I would wait to buy football until NFL is in the midseason lull. I would sell football right now. I would sell your football. Andy Kaysen might murder me for saying this, but I'm just not seeing many opportunities right now to buy football outside of some of your college guys, like your Caleb Williams 2022 Bowman Chrome First Autos. Those are great buys. Flip that back into my buys segment. But I'm selling my NFL players right now. Liquidate the NFL. Liquidate the mediocre NBA. Reinvest. And you will win. Everyone, don't forget, Lefty and I got our Whatnot debut. Singles only. Disrupting Whatnot. Sports Card Strategy Show. Go to whatnot.sportscardstrategy.com to support us. You get $15 off follow us through the invite link. If you've already got your $15 off through Whatnot, go to nooffseason.com/whatnot and follow us there, please. We're going to be selling you our Wembies. We're also going to be dropping in. Look, guys, if you didn't see this on the show and tell on Thursday, we're going to be dropping some of these bad boys in, Lefty. This is Bowman Chrome University 2023 Hobby Box. We're going to be dropping in some packs from these boxes in our Whatnot stream when you buy singles from us, as well as premium packs. Again, that debut is Wednesday, October 25th at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. Victor Wembanyama is making his debut. Check us out. I've been talking for 7 minutes. I'm going to hand it back over to the guys. That's it for me for today's show, everyone. Hope you enjoy the rest of the Sports Card Strategy Show. Connor, Lefty, Chad, back to you. Have a great day, everyone. I will see you on Thursday for the show and tell.
Shoo, baby. We got a heck of a lot of Paul Hickey right there. And he had everything from wins to losses to talking about Jackson Holliday, which, by the way, is our number one buy on our prospect rank list at in our baseball rankings. And he had all sorts of announcements. Connor, can we wrap it up? How are we? Is the show over now? Are we just like ride Paul Hickey off into the sunset?
To be fair, that might be the most concise that we've seen Paul in regards to splitting up four segments of information.
Yeah, that's fair. That was concise, Paul, for sure. Let's get to some audience L's of the week real quick. So can you pull some of those up for us?
Absolutely. Let's jump right into it. Before we start with thirds, I'm going to start with my W. So I was actually able to head over to the Nashville's card show this week. And got to meet with three of our listeners and filmed some show and tell content, which was pretty cool. So that should be airing over the course of the next few weeks. But yeah, let's take a look at the audience W's and L's for the weekend, starting off with Janelle Hsu. Their L was not buying Penix Jr. and going with their gut a few weeks ago. He's a stud. Yeah, he's been tearing it up. I believe he is the number one favorite as of right now to win the Heisman at like plus 170. If you don't keep up with betting odds, that's a pretty strong bet for all the players out there. Plus 170 is pretty impressive. Oh, My Shoes, they're L. They haven't been buying any sports cards or listed any. Fall baseball and a new work schedule has been eating their time. Shoes, we hate that you're not super involved right now with the flipping, but we love that you're on the grind, so good luck there. Card Snatcher, went to the show in Nashville, was one of the people that I got to meet with. She was awesome, had a really good story, and I'm excited to get that content out there. Picked up 12 of the Jace Jung Chrome First, which has been a strong play by Lefty as of late, and 8 Tamar Johnsons. Global from Australia, W the week is Ship My Cards for their first class service. Getting mail day here, safe and sound from the U.S. in just 4 days. Wow, it's a pretty quick incredible turnaround there. Oh, yeah. Mark Drzezinski, W of the week, went to a small card show this weekend, met a guy that breaks a ton of Bowman wax and was able to go through their inventory, 60 Xavier Isaac Chromes, and got 20 excellent ones for $2 each. Big time dub right there. Mark's L of the week was wasting all of his money on buying Isaac Chrome First online and getting 50% that were gradable. But was glad that he was able to make that connection that was a part of his W. Mohammed Najjar, their L was that eBay sales have been slow lately, excuse me. And I think that's going to do it for me. So I will head this back on over to you boys, and I will be back for the audience Q&A.
Yeah, guys, have you noticed that your eBay sales are not going the way that they should be going? Let's go crack first.
Yeah, eBay sales, right? It's the slowest it's been the entire year for me right now. So I've been taking a look and trying to figure out if it's me, if it's the card, if it's the prices. So I reduced almost 500 prices over the weekend, seeing if maybe it was the price, and sold a whopping 2 cards off of that yesterday. So I kind of felt like my efforts of lowering 500 cards was a waste of time, but not sure what's going on there. Even the auctions seem to be, I have 5 cards at auctions, and those should be hot cards, and those seem a little bit off right now. Not sure what is actually going on with eBay. How about you, Denny?
See, at the shop, our guy Vintage Don, we call him, is our guy that does all our listings on eBay and negotiates and sells on eBay. He's been out for like a month and a half with an eye issue, and he hasn't been able to work. And so our eBay listings are just way down. We have a new guy named Cole coming in to start in 2 weeks, and you know he's majority of his job is going to be listing and selling on eBay. So our sales are definitely down, but it's more from our standpoint, it's more of we're listing less. But I mean, I just think the general economy, you know, we track, you know, coming from the real estate development world, we track the economy in a lot of ways, and it's just a weird economy, and I think it's going to be weird for a little bit. And I would just put it's just a lack of franticness to buy in almost any sector, sports cards, real estate, anything right now. And so, you know, are we at a bottom or at a I don't know, but in most things, sports cards and real estate especially, I would think it's a good time to buy a lot of things because I think most things will go up in the foreseeable future. It's just a matter of when. So I would tell everybody to be patient.
Yeah, I think if I wrap back up my L's of the week, it's been doing auctions on NFL cards on eBay because they haven't been selling the way that I wanted them to. And I, you know, was holding these football cards, I had Jalen Hurts and Deion Sanders and Josh Allen. And I wanted all these guys to kind of have good first couple weeks of the season and then for me to pop into a nice little profit. Well, I've lost money on all of them. In eBay auctions, which is unfortunate. I think I just sold at the wrong time, maybe I bought at the wrong time. I bought kind of mid-summer. It wasn't quite the buying opportunity that I thought that I had. So I think it's a combination of both. Listing them for auction is something that we go back and forth on in this podcast quite a bit. We have Dr. Crack, who loves the buy it now, you know, as he would say, smack the buy it now. And then you've got Paul, Mr. Auction. And so I kind of go back and forth on what I think will be auction or buy it now eligible. And so all of my auctions this week went under the price of what they went for. And then actually I posted some Corbin Carroll stuff for auction as well. It ended up going way under what I wanted it to go for, but the guy didn't pay. And so I pulled it offline. He had one eBay review. So I was like, oh, here we go. And the guy did not pay. So I pulled it offline, relisted it for a buy it now on what I wanted to get for it. And the guy smacked a buy it now immediately. And so win for Dr. Crack, as the auction went way low and didn't get paid for. And the buy it now, the guy paid for it immediately and sold for the price that I wanted to get out of my Corbin Carroll first lot with a PSA 10 as well. So how do you feel about, how does that make you feel, Crack?
I love it. I wish Paul was here so we could talk the next half an hour about how I was right and he was wrong.
Yeah, he wouldn't admit to it probably. He'd be like, oh yeah, you know, like there's just one bad, you know, you know him, man. He's just proud of his auctions. He's proud of his auctions. But we got more people jumping in. Greeny Green, Rusty Emigart, Luke, how are you? Card Snatcher, I love that you were able to meet Connor. That's a win of the week for us, is that our guests are able to meet some of us at shows. We hope to be doing that much more often in the next calendar year, as we kind of have more availability and more time to be able to put towards resources like this. We want to be able to see you guys at card shows. Let us know which ones you're getting out to and which ones you think that would be wise for us to get out to. We cover several different geographic areas. I cover Kentucky and a little bit north into Ohio. Paul and Connor in the Nashville area probably could go a little bit south, maybe to Memphis or something like that. We got Denny out on the East Coast, and we got Dr. Crack up in the tundra area of America, down up almost in Canada. And he's just, did you have snowshoes to walk to work this morning?
Not yet, but we did get a little bit of light flurries over the weekend.
Do your eBay sales just take a tank when there's 15-foot snowbanks in your city?
No, because most of the country is sunny and warm when that's happening. So,
dude, rain, sleet, or snow, that USPS, they get out there, baby.
They get it. They get her done.
Hey, shout out to USPS.
Hey, the funny thing is, you know, we're kind of ripping on eBay sales here as being an L of the week. I'm a glass half full, not half empty kind of guy. So I'm actually going to, stop all of the negative eBay stuff right now. And I'm going to go to my W. My W is eBay sales are slow. That's my W. Come on, guys. I have bought more cards in the last 2 weeks than I've probably bought in the last 5 months combined. I am on a spree here in the last 2 weeks. It has been, I'm glad that I about sold out here a few months ago after I capped out and I had no money to spend. I went on a selling spree at the right time, freed up some money, and I have been just smashing some auctions lately. So my W of the week is the fact eBay is slow right now. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I have also been able to make some incredible buys this week. I've been buying prospects like nobody's business, crack. I mean, I know a couple of weeks ago we were like, wow, we're getting some incredible deals. Now we've talked, you know, Paul talked about his Jackson Holiday. He talked about how just the good deal that he's getting. I think we're going to continue to see those deals come down. I think 23 mega boxes and 23 chrome did not go as expected. You're already seeing Ethan Salas cards coming down to way lower than I thought they would come to in the first month, which there's some opportunities to buy into some of those guys. I wouldn't buy into Ethan yet. I think he comes down a little bit lower, but there's some of those 23 Bowman guys that are on our list that I love, or the Bowman chrome specifically, guys. The mega boxes haven't been selling the way that I think they wanted them to. We're probably on the edge of basketball season, so baseball is going to be even more less thought about. We've got four teams in the potential finals that aren't, you know, super card heavy, so that I think that plays into our portfolios as well. But you're so right, man. I've gotten a million Jace Youngs. I've gotten a ton of Jackson Churio, a ton of Jackson Holiday, a ton of Xavier Isaac. I've been buying some Colby Mayo. So that's my win of the week as we transition. But before we transition, I want to be able to just talk about, like, my wins of the week and my buys of the week have been the same. So I'm right there with you, man. Like, my wins of the week are how far my dollar's been able to go in the past, you know, week or two, because people just seem like with eBay sales slow, maybe they're prepping for Christmas, stuff like that. I just have been able to make some scoops, man. And I pulled a PSA 10 Colby Mayo card for $50 under comps yesterday because somebody just wanted to get out of it. So I got a PSA 10 base chrome or a base auto Colby Mayo, which I love that he's going to be up probably with the Orioles as well and ride that Jackson Holiday train. But I think he's a great bat, and if I got him $50 under, that's a win of the week for me, Chad. So, Duke, let me talk. Let me get out of the way. Let me stop pulling a Paul Hickey and get in here with you. You're in the Richmond Airport, but give us the W of the week.
Yeah, well, just to touch on what you guys were saying, when, you know, Warren Buffett always says when the market is cautious, be greedy. When the market's greedy, be cautious. It's always easy to say to be contrarian, but it's harder to do it in real life. And you're basically, what you guys are describing is doing what the market's allowing you to do, right? If the market is hot and allows you to sell, market allows you to buy, you know, buy, but always try to put yourself in a position when you can choose when to do those things and not be the guy that has to sell it because you have to sell it because you want to and you can. So W of the week, I will say that Paul touched on this in his segment, is that our podcast at Graybo Sports Cards, we call it Graybo's Giblets. We touch on sports cards, daily fantasy sports, as well as sports betting, kind of connect all those worlds for all those degenerates out there that like all of those things. And it builds awareness for our shop. And we're very excited to join the No Off Season, you know, network, the family of podcasts. So that's, we're very excited about that. And at the beginning, he touched on promo codes. So we do have promo code in our Instagram bio for Drip. You can get a credit there. We are also putting in a Strategy 2023 promo code on Drip for all purchases. So anybody that wants to buy into a break can get 10% off any purchase on Drip. And then the same thing's going in on Whatnot. There, I think it's a $10 credit one time. But all right, W of the week. I would say, you know, we have what we call the fund, where we buy, a bunch of us pull our money, we buy and sell and trade big cards that we wouldn't normally buy on our own. We did a massive trade in the shop on Friday. We traded out of a big Josh Allen and a Burrow. The Josh Allen was a Contenders rookie ticket, PSA 10, auto 10, no feet variation that we got about 6 months ago, kind of like right after he got knocked out of the playoffs. And then we got the Burrow kind of midsummer. And so we traded out of those at a better number than we got in at. So we're excited about that. And we traded a little bit of cash as well. And we got into a Brady PSA 9 Bowman Chrome rookie. And it's our first time we've ever actually had a bigger Brady. And then we got a massive Patrick Mahomes card. So we got a plates and patches to 10 rookie 2017 auto. So it's a really massive Mahomes, and we think we, doing all the math, we think we got pretty good value. We had two big Josh Allens in the fund, so we got out of one. We still have some Josh Allen exposure, which I like, because I think I'm bullish on him. But we got a little more stable folks, Mahomes and Brady. I think if you look at Brady's pricing the last couple of years, he's down a lot, and I think he's going to be very relevant for the next forever as the GOAT, but also just all the stuff he's doing on TV and in business. So I was very excited to get into those two guys. And then one more quick W of the week. I know this is a sports card show, but me and Gray and my buddy Keith, we do big time daily fantasy sports stuff on every Sunday. And we had been on a losing streak for like a year and a half. And then two out of the last 3 weeks, we popped and had big wins. And so Gray and I are rolling to the clover right now. So we're very excited about that.
Who is the big daily fantasy guy that you were on this week?
So I think the guys that actually won it for us were Tyreek, Adam Thielen, and then the big one was Mostert. Mostert had three touchdowns, and had him in a bunch. We did 30 lineups, and we had Mostert in, I think, 14 of our 30 lineups, and so he carried us.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, I had one daily fantasy, and I put Justin Tucker in there and his like five field goals or something. And I was like, let's go. So that's my small little drip into. I also went to the horse races last night at Keeneland. I don't know if you guys have ever done any sort of Keeneland horse races or stuff. Super fun. Love watching the ponies run around the track. But I ended up going $3 positive at Keeneland. So praise the Lord for that. Absolutely massive day for me. $3 positive from Keeneland. But that's my W of the week for sure. Let's go into our buy segment. Duke, we're just going to stick with you for a second. Who are you buying right now? Or who's the shop buying? Or you can, I actually would like to pick your brain on a couple of things. Who are you buying personally? Who is the shop buying? And then, who's the fund buying?
So for the fund, we are actually targeting this month holiday, based mainly because of you. What Paul just said, good time of year. He's the dude. So we don't have any. We need to get a little heavier into baseball in the fund, and so this is the time of year to do that. So all those other guys that you guys are on, we'll look for as well. But Jackson Holiday being the big one. I know it's basketball season starting. It's not the greatest time to buy basketball, but the one guy who I think I'm going to buy right now is Jason Tatum. I do think all of the hype around the Dame trade is inflating Milwaukee's value. And I think Milwaukee's very good. I think they'll be very good. But I think the Celtics got better in the offseason with Porzingis. And I love Drew Holiday as a glue guy. I think he's more valuable than I think you can imagine by looking at the stat sheet. And so I think there's a little value with the Celtics for like season long bets, you know, futures win the championship, but also for Tatum's cards. I think Tatum's going to win one of these things. And I think it could be this year. And then football, like I'm really looking for people to buy. Obviously, I agree with Paul that it's not the best time to buy football, but two players that I'm bullish on from a season long fantasy standpoint and a sports card standpoint are Tyjae Spears and Roschon Johnson. I think they're two running backs that. They're going to take over the backfield, just a matter of time. And I think you can get into those guys pretty cheap, both in sports cards right now and in fantasy. You know, Roschon Johnson's a little dinged up, but he's going to be that back. He'll be the back in like 2 weeks or whenever he comes back. It'll be a little longer for Spears because it's more about whenever Derrick Henry decides to retire or move on or just, you know, reduce his load. But those are two of my favorite young running backs. I'm going to talk about one more in the selling portion, but that's it for now.
That's good. That's good. I like some of those plays. Very interesting into where I think it's fun for me to pick your brain on buying from three different perspectives. That's pretty sweet. But I don't know how, Chad, we haven't got to this at some point in this episode. Why is this not the episode where we can talk about the great Aaron Rodgers freely? We don't have to talk about Kenny Pickett. We don't have to talk about, the Lions or the whoever he's rooting for. We can just talk about how goated Aaron Rodgers is, as he's one of the top five, top 10 quarterbacks of all time. Let's hear your little Aaron Rodgers spiel.
Well, for starters, for those that are paying attention, they are 2-0 now with two major upsets with Aaron Rodgers in the building. So it could just be his presence that is willing the Jets to victory. You know, he's walking already way ahead of schedule. He was on the field throwing passes pregame. I really, truly believe that we are going to see Aaron Rodgers wearing a Jets uniform before week 18. He's going to defy the odds. The Jets are going to win the Super Bowl, and we're still going to get to rub this in Paul's face. Probably not, but it's still going to be fun. I'm not a Jets. If he'd have been all year, but you know, I love me some Aaron Rodgers. The guy's controversial. He's always, there's number two. He's always in the, you know, he's in the limelight usually for the wrong reason, but hey, as they say, any publicity is good publicity. His rookie cards are so freaking cheap right now. I think I've got 11 of them right now, and I've bought 7 of them in the last 3 weeks. They're free. The guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer. What are people doing? I mean, if you had $250 to spend and you could buy a first ballot guaranteed Hall of Famer in a PSA 10 or, I don't know, a prospect that might get to play and he's in his rookie year for $250. You know, what are we doing here, people? Take the sure money.
The doc has truly spoken. Aaron Rodgers' love has entered the Sports Card Strategy Show for the first time. We're able to say his name actually on this podcast without Paul here. I'm sure he is just turning over in his grave. Oh, well, I guess he's not dead, but he's just turning over in his slumber when we're talking about Aaron Rodgers here. But I too think that when I saw him throwing this week, and I've watched a lot of his stuff on the Pat McAfee show and how he's trying to approach the comeback a little bit differently and defy odds. And I think some of it is a little bit like, okay, Aaron, you're just pretty narcissistic, but at the same time, I'm like, maybe he's onto something. Maybe he is, you know, like, what are the expectations? Can we defy that? How far can the human body push itself? And I do think that we could see Aaron Rodgers back before the end of the season, which goes to show, or goes to say, does our bet still, does it still hold if the Jets make the playoffs and Aaron Rodgers is in uniform the last week of the season?
I don't know, because Paul did say he wasn't going to make it 4 weeks, and he made it, what, 4 snaps. So Paul would be right from that standpoint. But if the Jets can make the playoffs and Aaron Rodgers pushes them deep, I think it's a push then at that point. We're no longer losers, and we're like, co-winners.
Hey, co-winners. Nothing better than co-winners. But let's go to who you're buying, Chad. Who are you buying?
In addition to still buying more Aaron Rodgers, I bought, so in this the last week here, I bought a Silver Prism PSA 10 Zion Williamson. You were just asking whether or not you're still buying Zion. I bought a Silver Prism because it was too cheap to pass up. I do not expect to be holding that card. Full disclosure, if I'm holding that card on Thanksgiving, I lost. All right.
Yeah.
That is not a long-term hold. He's going to start the season hot. His prices are going to go up 20, 30%. I'm cashing out. full disclosure, I bought a silver prism PSA 10 Shea Gilgeous. I bought a silver prism PSA 10 Ja Morant. I bought two optic hollow PSA 10 Jason Tatums. I bought two Tyler Black Bowman first base autos in raw that I plan on getting sent in. And I bought a LaMelo Ball hollow PSA 10. And I bought two more Durant factory white PSA 10s. So that is what I bought this week.
Dang, man, you are buying. You're on a spree, baby. So
yeah, and I'm defying the odds of the fact that you can't, it's too late to buy basketball. I think that is false. If you pick the right players, like Zion right now, if Zion gets hurt, am I going to lose money on this PSA 10 silver? Absolutely. I'm still holding. I bet big on Zion last year. I spent $5,000 on Zion last year, and I could have made $2,000 right around Thanksgiving last year, and I held him thinking I was going to double my money come the All-Star because of how great he was playing. His injury happened, and my $5,000 became $2,000, and I would have lost. I held because I believe that the hype train is real. I don't believe in Zion Williamson long-term. He's a risk factor. He's going to continue to get hurt. But he is a special talent, and when he is on the court, there isn't many better. And because of that, and because he's the face of the 2019 crowd with Ja, his cards are going to go up in value. They just are. However, I am not going to make the same mistake as I made last year. When Zion starts out this season hot and his cards start to climb, I'm out on Zion, all of that. I'm going to cash it all in. And then that money is all going into baseball prospects for next spring.
Not a baby. I have some buys that aren't surprising, really. With my plays, I've been strictly playing sports card prospects, mainly baseball. But I've been just hammering the top probably five or six guys on our list that we have at Sports Card Strategy Show or at nooffseason.com. But I've been able to buy a ton of great deals on Jace Young and a ton of great deals on Colby Mayo. I think these are two guys that are outside of the top three or four guys that are going to create this big hype, and guys that are definitely worth getting in on now because they have the offensive profile to be able to do big things next year. And I think they have the average and the power together to bring in a really nice batting profile. And as we know, batting profiles is what really drives card prices in baseball. Like, yes, Jackson Chourio is going to be good. Yes, Jackson Holliday is going to be good. And yes, James Wood is going to be good. And we are investing in all three of those players. But I think the next tier for me is the tier that I'm particularly excited about right now. I'm buying a lot of Jace Young. I'm buying a lot of Colby Mayo and Tyler Black, the guy that we talked about just a second ago, is a guy that is flying up our rankings. He, I believe, started in the 20s. Now he's in the 15s, and the next month he's probably going to be really close to cracking the top 10 because we believe that he's going to make this Brewers team out of camp. And he's a guy that you can get just way cheaper than some of these other guys. A lot of people are like, who is this Tyler Black guy? And so to answer this question really quickly, Rusty Emigart, yes, I am targeting just autos. Other than I make two specific kind of plays. I make a play based on Bowman Chrome autos, or what I try to do is get at least a refractor. That way it's at least out of $499 rather than out of potentially, you know, $5,000 or whatever. There's some speculation on what Chrome autos from Bowman print run at. I would assume that it's around $5,000. And if I can get one around $499, that price is a lot more controllable to me. But I do do mostly autos. Other than the other one play that I have been buying recently, I have bought 97 different Chrome firsts of Roman Anthony, Xavier Isaac, James Wood, Churio. Some of them are Lunars. Some of them are Mojos. Some of them are just regular Chromes. But I, like Dr. Crack, are going to make giant submissions here when I get my next paycheck, so in the next 2 to 3 weeks, about all of these guys going to PSA now, so that when spring training comes along and all people just wanting to scoop up these PSA 10s for $50, $60, $70, we can make, you know, $10 to $15 to $20 a pop on every single one of them. And if I've got all 90 of them, if I'm making $10 to $20 on all 90 of those cards, that is going to be a heck of a win and a heck of a way to send us into spring training with a lot more buying power and a lot more buying power going into football buying season or basketball buying season or even pre-Olympics, like what we've talked about today. I'm able to scoop up steals like this. I bought a Jackson Churio PSA 10. This same card at the National, Paul negotiated. This guy had two of them on the table, and Paul told me, I will buy a PSA 10 Churio all day long, no matter what it looks like. This is not a auto, by the way. And he's like, if it's anywhere between $60 and $70 at the National, I'm buying it because I know I can sell it for around $100 in the spring training. I bought this one last week, Chad, for $40. Like, that's just such a good deal on a card that you already know is a PSA 10. That's somebody making $10 to $15 on their end. And we're going to make probably, there's a chance that I may triple that in spring training.
So when I had my Jordan Walker play, which didn't turn out quite as well, but I still made money on it. Jordan Walker, who's nowhere near the level that Churio is, Jordan Walker was still doing I got $70 for all of my PSA 10 Jordan Walker. That Churio card is at minimum a $70 card come spring. Minimum.
Yeah.
It might hit $100, like Paul said. If you can buy them right now for $35 to $50, scoop them up. That's money. You're printing money there.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. I've been diving deep into either prospect autos or first chromes with the idea of bulk submitting them and getting them all back and then putting them on my eBay store and just having them sit there. And if what I've done, I'll be interested to know what you do in this process, Chad. But what I've done is because I got this from you. You taught me how to do this, but there's kind of some parts of it that I have done myself. So I have, I think, 15 chrome tins of Spencer Jones that I submitted it previously earlier this year. And I have them all up on my eBay store for what I want to get out of them. And I put them in one listing, and then I have them all, like I have the quantity up on that one listing high. Is that how you do it? Or do you list them all individually, and do you keep them up year round? And just whenever they get to that buy period, you ended up moving them. How do you do that?
Yeah. During the off season, that's exactly how I do it. I have the quantities on there. And I put them at a listing price that if they sell, they sell. If they don't, I don't care. Then once they start to get hot, I stagger them. So like the Arch Manning cards that we talked about at the beginning of the show, I've got the SGC 9 at $20, and then I've got the SGC 9.5 staggered at $30, $40, and $50, and then I've got the SGC 10 at $100, because I don't want them to all disappear quickly. If I put them all at $20 and they all bam, 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 they went, and I'd be like, oh crap, I undersold them. So I stagger those because there might be I don't know what the demand is going to be, but for Roman Anthony, I would put those at a price that I don't care, because they're just going to be up there and ready for spring. And I've got almost 200, you know, I had said my plan is to have 20 base chrome first of all of our top 10 players. I'm almost there. I've got almost 200 cards ready for grading. And I am going to send those in by the end of this month, hopefully. And I'll have a 200 card submission of our top 10 at no off season.
Yeah, I'm doing this. I'm trying to do the same thing. My bankroll is a little bit smaller. But I'm there on Xavier Isaac. I'm there on Roman Anthony. I'm there on James Wood, and I believe I'm there on Jackson Churio. So that's a good list. Nowhere am I going to be able to find 20 Chrome Jackson Holidays. That's just that nobody's selling those. And I think when we look back on the chart that Paul shared, I think the thing that sticks out to me is the first 8 months of that chart, you see sales happening almost every day. And then as the chart begins to climb, you see maybe 10 sales on eBay of that card in the last, you know, month. And so people are definitely holding. People know where the value's at, which is good. But at the same time, we've got to figure out a plan to be first to the market, Chad. I think that's going to be one of our plans, is putting our head together on when to hit the market, not just, hey, spring training or et cetera, but like when to do that. And that's something that we will continue to develop over the next couple of months of the Sports Card Strategy Show. So, all right. Did we go through your buys, Duke? Did we hit you with your buys?
Yeah, we did buys. Yep.
All right. So let's hit your sells real quick. And then we'll jump to audience Q&A and we'll get out of here.
Awesome. So yeah, as we talk about the market in general, we're not selling, like, I mean, there's not a lot in the shop. We sell every day, obviously, because we buy for X and sell it for a little bit more. But as far as the fund or personally investing goes, there's not a lot I'm like pushing to sell right now. In the football world, there seems like a lot of guys that are doing okay from a quarterback standpoint, but no one's peaking, with the exception, I would say, is the Dolphins. I would say look at Tua, look at Tyreek, maybe even Waddle. I think there's a lot of folks that are very bullish on the Dolphins, and the Dolphins really could make a deep playoff run, but I'm betting against it. I just, between Tua's health or the Dolphins just not being able to beat what I call a real team with a really solid defense in the playoffs. You saw what happened to them when they ran into Buffalo. And just like you saw what happened to the Cowboys when they ran into San Francisco, I would put San Francisco and Buffalo in the category of like a real team, and Dolphins and Cowboys is a little bit of fool's gold, I would say. And I could absolutely be wrong. This could be the year that the Dolphins break through and Tua stays healthy, but their values are just already up because there's a lot of people that are on them right now because of the stats they're producing. They're winning people money in season-long fantasy and daily fantasy. Tua and Tyreek connection is off the charts as far as historically what they've done in the first 6 weeks or so has been amazing. So I just think those are the things that the public wants, so give it to them, sell those guys. And then people like Allen and Herbert and those guys, I'm just holding and just kind of waiting to see what happens.
Yeah, that's good. I think it's good for me to hear you say that the 49ers are a real team, because the Browns, that means that we are a real team since we beat them yesterday with our XFL quarterback and our backup running back. You know, that was, by the way, I'll just be candid here. I lost money yesterday because I put a big sum of money on the Browns. DraftKings just became eligible here in Kentucky, and I had a lot of free bets. And so I put it all basically on the 49ers winning by some part of their spread, and obviously that did not happen. So but I'm glad to hear you say that it's a real team, because when you're betting against your team, you get money when they lose, so it makes you feel a little bit better. But at the same time, if they win, you're like, well okay, crap, I'm still happy about that too. So
we call that an emotional hedge is what we call that.
Yeah, well, I emotionally hedged yesterday, and it went well for me because I was able to watch that kick get missed and be like, what the heck just happened? And then I was actually at Keeneland when that happened, and then my pony won the race for my $2 bet hit at the same time the Browns won yesterday. And so what a day. My sell, I have a question. Chad, when am I selling this Simeon Fontecchio card? What's going on here with this guy?
I will let you know. It's going to be probably, hopefully, mid to end of the season. But that's a play I'm still excited about. He's looking good in preseason. He's for real.
Connor, pop in here. Talk about your Fontecchio love. I know you have a particular love for basketball. Let's hear it.
My Fontecchio love is not nearly as high as Chad's. I love Chad's ability to find these sleeper plays, man. I think for people that have established a large a base in their portfolio staples, Chad is like the most perfect analyst ever, because every single week, if you're bored and you know your staples are going to make you money, he's got some great picks for you to look after. So am I super high on Fontecchio? Not necessarily in terms of overall longevity in the sport of basketball, but could he potentially be a great flyer play based on the recommendation of Chad Gill? Absolutely. Do you want me to go ahead and hop into the audience questions of the week?
After you do one thing, tell us where you got that sick, awesome hat.
This hat, this was actually a custom-made hat in Scottsdale, Arizona. I went down there a couple years ago for a friend's bachelor trip and was wandering around, found a custom shop, and they stitched everything together up here.
That thing is badass, my friend. I like
it. One of my favorites. Thank you.
All right, so hit us with your actual job, baby. Let's hit it.
Yeah, let's do it. This one, I'm going to target Duke Denny one-time Dotson real quick. Fly Heat cards. We just got some from Paul's segment. We got some context in regards to which basketball players he thinks you should be selling now and for which reasons. Kind of talking about maybe bigger cards that you don't want to get rid of. Fly Heat cards said, would you guys post LaMelo Ball and Scotty Barnes right now to sell, or should you wait?
Yeah, I would love to get Chad's opinion on this. On these guys, like, good young talent on kind of blah teams is how I would describe both of these guys. I don't see the need to rush to sell those. Like, maybe put them at a price you're willing to let it go, but wait and see. There'll be a moment when LaMelo does something in the beginning of the season that's very impressive, gets a lot of ESPN time, a lot of social media sharing. That's, I think, the time to sell LaMelo until his team proves they can win. I think they got that's not now. And then Scotty Barnes, I like him. He's not as exciting as a lot of players from like a highlight standpoint, but I would say there's no rush to sell either of these guys. They're good young talent. Put a price up there you're willing to sell, but let's see how they do. But let the season start to play out, and you have a better feel on both of those guys. Those guys are not rushing to buy or sell right now.
Yeah, good stuff, Duke. Chad, how are you feeling about him?
Yeah, I'm buying LaMelo Ball because coming off the injury, I'm not buying the Don Russ rated rookies. I'm buying the Optic Hollows, the Silver Prisms. Those cards I expect to go up 25 to 50% in the first month or two of the season. If he plays well, his stuff has gotten so ridiculously low right now, his good stuff, that he is a buy for me. Scotty Barnes is just meh. He's a good ball player, but he's not exciting. He's not the best player on the team. He won Rookie of the Year by default. Whatever. He's just Scotty Barnes is a player that I think Paul made a comment that he was buying him or looking at him because he thinks he's gonna have a breakout year. If Scotty Barnes has a breakout year, does his cards do anything? I don't know, because I don't know if anybody cares. Sell Scotty Barnes now if you can. I don't see Scotty Barnes as a play now or even midseason or end of the season. Even if they win, he's not the star player on the team. So I'm not on the Scotty Barnes bandwagon.
Yeah, thanks, Chad. It seems like the Raptors market outside of when Kawhi was there is just such a boring place for NBA players to live. And when I say live, I mean more so in the context of their card markets. I think that it's going to be tough for him. I love Scottie Barnes' game relative to just talking basketball. I think he brings a lot of good things to the floor. But like you guys are saying, I just don't know if he's going to have those markers that really could turn profits for people trying to invest in him right now. So good stuff there. Chad, I got one more for you from Janelle Hsu. Do you look closely at gym rates before you buy raw so you know what your odds are for getting a 10?
Absolutely. I look at the gym rates before I buy raw. And then if I'm buying on eBay, I look at the seller rating. I look at the seller's other items. I want to make sure that they don't have a bunch of graded cards that they're selling, because if they do, chances are the reason they're selling it raw is because the card would not gem. I like to buy raw cards from people that only sell raw cards. It's not to say that you can't find good people out there that do both. I mean, I do both. But usually if there's a, you'll notice in my listings, if there's a blemish or something on a raw card, I put that there's a blemish there and I try to take a close up picture of it. So I'm not duping anybody, but I'm kind of the exception, not the rule when it comes to people, and integrity in selling cards. So, gem rates are important, as is, the other cards that they're selling.
Yeah, guys, Chad is so involved in the game. You know, you're going to get some good feedback from him there. One more question, and then I think we're actually going to wrap it up today. And I'm going to put this one in the air for any of the three of you, just because I don't know which of the three of y'all is more heavily invested in college football. But it's Kids Fitness. Thoughts on Jackson Arnold. Is he a buy? For context for listeners, Jackson Arnold, Oklahoma Sooners freshman quarterback, who I believe just took the reins for them this week, played fairly decent, but he's got some big recommendations coming in as someone who can be a top collegiate quarterback. So, guys, do you think he's a buy right now? And if so, why?
I don't think he is. Personally, I think the Sooners are going to get a lot worse before they get better. The SEC turnaround is going to be pretty real for them. Jackson Arnold is a good talent, but I think I'm more interested in buying other quarterbacks right now. I would buy both Texas quarterbacks before I would buy him, just in comparison. And yeah, that's where I'm at personally.
My thoughts are, if you're a Sooners fan, go ahead and buy some Jackson Arnold. If you want to, you know, spend $20 and buy 10 of his Bowman first, because they're the base chrome first are a couple bucks a piece right now. You know, it's a very low dollar, low risk investment. Go ahead. But he's a freshman. He's 2 to 3 years away from any type of relevance to where his cards are going to have any type of value. So it's not a play. It would be a, you know, if you're on a 3 to 4 year play and you like the Sooners, go ahead. But there are so many other cards that you could buy now and flip 100 times between now and the time that Jackson Arnold becomes relevant.
Yeah, good stuff there, guys. I think we got one more question from Greeny Green. Where can you find gym rates? Dr. Crack, you want to get back to him on that real quick? And then that's going to do it for me, boys.
Sure. Gemrate.com. If you want to write that down, it's just gemrate.com. It's a free website. That's the easiest way to, unless you want to do the math and go to PSA and do the math yourself, gemrates.com gives you everything you need.
There you go. That's gold. Gemrates.com is something that is wildly underused here in the hobby. I also want to pull in one thing, that Connor and Paul have want to talk about in the future. Is Tom DiCaprio talks about, would you be able to visit a show in New York State, especially Buffalo, Batavia, Rochester, and Syracuse? We would be able to do that, but I think the more important part I wanted to address was at the very end, to get the word out. We do want to get word out on local shows. We want to be able to promote that and things. And so if you guys are connected to a show, let us know. We'd love to be able to talk about it on the Sports Card Strategy Show, get our listeners there, potentially get us there. That would be pretty fun. But we are about promoting stuff in the hobby. So, Tom, definitely reach out, send us an email about what we could be doing to help promote these cards in that area of the country. And if you're listening in a different area of the country, if you're on the West Coast, you're listening to this on Spotify later, just let us know. We want to be able to, I would love to be able to go to a Sports Card Strategy Show in Alaska someday. I think that'd be freaking sick. We'd take Connor and get him a new custom hat out there in Alaska. So if you've got a Alaska card show, somebody let us know. That'd be awesome. But I wanted to be able to attach that. So Tom, thanks. Connor, thanks for all you do. You've done a great job today. You continually are the best looking member of the Sports Card Strategy Show Network. Duke is running a close second place, but I think the lighting in the Richmond airport wasn't as good for him today. You know, it's just a little bit down on the Richmond. But Duke, when you're back in your shop and you got and you got who is behind you in your shop? Jay-Z or something like that?
A couple guys, including Jay-Z. Yeah.
Yeah. That adds a couple of swagger points to you. But guys, is there anything we missed today? Anything that you guys wanted to talk about that just was screaming on your plate, or a guy that you wanted to address that we haven't talked about at all?
No, but when you're talking about looks, Lefty, you blur out your background and you've got that nice, crisp, sharp face of yours. When you got a face like mine, you blur out the face and you got a nice, crisp background. That's the way you do that.
Hey, man, I love it. I love it.
Go ahead, Denny. Sorry to interrupt.
All good. I forgot to mention when I was talking about the Dolphins. The only Dolphin I would not get out of right now is Achane. I think that guy's a monster.
Giga Maggies, dude.
And I would hang on to him for a bit. I think he's going to be special. And then two things. Graybo's is going to be we're going to have a booth at the Chantilly Card Show in a week. So the Northern Virginia area, if you're going to be there, come see us. And we're going to have a table or two at the Dallas Card Show the week after that. So if you go to either one of those shows, come by and say hi. Usually every show somebody will come by and say, hey, I'm a sports card strategy guy. I heard you there. So if that's you, come say hi.
Yeah, we also have our friends down at Texas Roadshow that are destroying Dallas card shows. I was talking to Cram yesterday, and they don't even put inventory on their site because they sell stuff so quickly at the Dallas Card Show. It would be not advantageous to them to put their inventory online because they move so much of it during the Dallas Card Show. So go check them out as well. Duke, I'd love for you guys to hit up with them as well. Good dudes in our Sports Card Strategy network of people that we know. I think that's generally it. I don't have anything else. We are ending at 9:15 today. So, guys, I love it. Connor, you're the best-looking one out of all of this. It's just unclear for the Spotify people, but just take my word for it. Connor's the best-looking one on the show. Denny is coming in a second. So that's just what we got. That's the advice I leave you with at the very end is buy Connor and sell Dr. Crack. That's what I have. And sell Paul as well. So we are out. Cue that outro. I don't know if it's Sonia or if it's Paul, but let's hear it.
Thank you for listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show brought to you by nooffseason.com. We hope you have a wonderful day. Don't forget to text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727. If you believe this show has helped you in any way, shape, or form have a better day, better week, better month, better year, better time, making better decisions, investing in sports cards, and making money to fund your PC and your life, leave us a review on Spotify and Apple. We would really appreciate it. Give us a follow on Instagram @SportsCardStrategy. Have a great day.